seated.
Amen. Thank you so much to our musicians, and thank you for those testimonies tonight. I want to continue talking about the subject of purity, and I'm going to be in Proverbs chapter 7 tonight. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 1. Proverbs 7 and verse 1. The Bible says this in Proverbs 7 and verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He is gone on a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver. As a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Sobering words. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would heed the warnings of your word tonight regarding temptation, and especially regarding moral purity in the society in which we are. So, Father, we ask for your grace and strength that we might be obedient to you in heart and in deed. And so go with us as we look at this passage tonight, and help us as we study these details from the text. And I pray, Lord, that you would use these in our lives to transform us more and more into the image of your Son. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've already covered a series of six exhortations that the Father gives to the Son. One of the things that we said before is that what a father wants most for his child is number one, to know Christ as personal Savior. That's the most important thing in the world. But then secondly, the thing that we as parents want for our children is to live a life that is honoring to the Lord. And that means moral purity. So many people fall in this area. And so this is for all of us. This is for each individual in this room. And it's also for us as we consider how to train and guide our young people, our children, our grandchildren, those to whom God has entrusted us. Well, now we have come to the seventh exhortation, and it's in the form of an example story. So it's as if the father pulls the curtain back and shows the son this tragic drama that is unfolding right outside his window. Ray Ortlund says that the father tells us three things about the strategies of sexual temptation. First of all, about the approach of temptation in verses 6 through 13. And then about the speech of temptation, verses 14 through 20. So first of all, we have the approach. And then the speech of temptation, 14 through 20. And then in verses 21 through 27, we have the impact of giving in to temptation. And the impact is great upon a person's life. Not only lost people, but also saved people have a lot of scars in their lives because they have not heeded these instructions. And so we need to listen to the voice of God in this passage. I want you to notice, number one, the value of wisdom in chapter 7, verses 1 through 5 that we just read. This instruction is familiar to us because we find it throughout the series of the first six exhortations, where we find, keep my words, lay up my commandments. Verses 1 through 4 speak of internalizing the truth. So yes, we memorize it, but we don't stop there. We study it. And we internalize it. It is possible for us to read God's word and to memorize it and to study it and yet not take it into our hearts. And that's the great danger that all of us face. Especially for those of us who come to the house of the Lord faithfully each week. Sometimes we think it's just going to enter in through the process of osmosis. It's just going to kind of filter in somehow. As a pastor, I have to be very, very much aware of this. Just because I'm around the Bible all day doesn't mean it's going to magically soak into my brain. I have to read it. I have to study it. I must be in the Word. And the same is true for all of us. We must be in the Word each day. And there's a way of saying this in other parts of Scripture. For instance, turn to Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. And it's in this passage, and you may want to read this entire passage when you get home. But God is talking about this very thing, about storing up His words. And in Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12, here's what He says. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Echoing the prophet Micah. But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him. And then notice this statement. And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy what? Heart. And with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. It is not enough to try to dress up the outside. You see, a person can do that through any kind of religion. But what we need is true religion. What we need is transformation from within. And that's something that God does through His Spirit and through His Word. As we submit to Him, as we are obedient to Him. The psalmist expressed it this way, how precious God's Word was. He said in Psalm 119, verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." We might say it like this, I can't get enough of God's Word. Don't ever fall into the trap that the children of Israel fell into where they said, we are so tired of this manna that God is always giving us. They failed to be thankful for what God had given them, and sometimes we treat the Word of God that way. And what is the problem? The problem is that we are not internalizing it. We are not submitting to it. We are not putting it into practice. We're not sharing it with others. We can have a head that is full of knowledge and yet a heart that is empty and dry before the Lord. Now, the New Testament talks about this in other language. For instance, in Ephesians 4 and verse 23, Paul says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Mind renewal by the Word of God. The washing of regeneration by His Word and by His Spirit. In Romans 12:2, Paul puts it this way, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So that you might discern what God wants you to do in life. We submit ourselves to God. We're not patterned after this world. We're not walking according to its ways. And how easy it is for us to internalize the ways of this world. Because that is our natural state. That's our sinful nature. We were born that way as sinners. And so we naturally internalize the world. It happens both consciously and unconsciously. But that's part of what the new birth is all about. You see, mind renewal starts with salvation. That's where we really begin to internalize the Word of God. Now we have a new man. Now we have a transformed spirit. Now we have the law of God internalized. It's not just on tables or tablets of stone. Now we have a new attitude towards it. I remember this as vividly as if it were yesterday. But when I got saved, suddenly I had an appetite for God's Word that I didn't have before. I had grown up with it, but it meant nothing to me. But everything changed after salvation. Now, my friends, we have to cultivate that appetite. And that is the positive in all of this. That's the positive command. It's not just stay away from the temptations because you'll never do that completely. And yes, that is good advice because there are, as we'll find, there are places you need to avoid where you know it's going to be a serious temptation for you. It's going to be a snare. And you're a fool not to stay away from it. But you will never eradicate that sinful nature within until Jesus returns and purges it out of you. So in the meantime, we must internalize the Word and let the Spirit work through His Word to cleanse us. So important that we continue in the Word in our Christian life. And one of the functions of spiritual renewal through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God is found in this passage in Proverbs 7 and verse 5. The Bible says that they may keep thee from the strange woman. Now, this is a literal adulteress, but It could be temptation in general. The Bible says, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. This, or almost these same words, are used in chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. The Hebrew word for strange or stranger can mean a foreigner. But in this context, it means a woman who is outside the circle of a man's proper relations. In other words, it's a woman who is not your wife, who is inviting you into an intimate relationship. And by the way, all of this can work in the other direction. Always keep that in mind. But we could say it this way: a strange woman is a harlot or an adulteress. This is the value of wisdom, then. One of its chief functions is to help us to avoid temptation, to avoid in particular the strange woman, that source of temptation that is around us. Now, let's see how this works out in life. Number two, the appeal of sinful lust. Number one, the value of wisdom. Number two, the appeal of sinful lust. Solomon says, one day I was looking out of my window and I beheld among the simple ones. And that's the words in our Bibles. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. And here the youths means, it's the word that's often used in Proverbs, the Hebrew word simple, simpletons. The word is peti. And it means one who is young, one who is inexperienced, one who is easily seduced. It is one who needs instruction. But, and here's the good news, it is one who is capable of learning. So the simple person is right on the edge. Now, listen, this message is not just for teenagers. It's not just for Generation Z. And, you know, one of the things that we have to do when we hear God's word is we have to hear what God is saying to us. Okay, it's not just about picking on one generation or another, because that's one of the ways that we divert attention away from ourselves. Because you see, in fact, it says here in the passage in verse 26, many strong men have been slain by her. You can think of people like David. I mean, Samson was a man who was always getting into trouble. You can understand why Samson would get into trouble. But David? David, a man after God's own heart? A man who was older? A man who was close to the Lord, a man who had gone through many struggles. Remember all the years that he was on the run from Saul, all the years that he had written those Psalms, that he had seen God's deliverance. And yet he fell. Some of you say, I'm too old to fall. No, you're not. You're not too old to fall into sexual lust and temptation. To be unfaithful to your wife, maybe not in the actual deed, but in thought and in your emotions. You see, all of us are vulnerable. But in particular, it is talking about people who are young, and especially people who are making the decisions on the crossroads of life that are going to affect their destiny for the rest of their lives. Who you're going to marry, what job you're going to have, what job or career, what college you are going to attend. Now, friends, these are momentous decisions, and they should not be taken lightly. And young people, you need to ask the Lord where He wants you to go. God, where do you want me to go? Where is the place where I can go, where you can use me? What person do you want me to marry? And I can tell you this. First of all, God wants you to marry a Christian, a saved person who's born again. But then after that, is it the one that God has for me? Seek His will. These decisions are so important. But Solomon said that this person was inexperienced, easily seduced. Ray Ortland said this, this word, peti or simple, is probably related to the Hebrew verb meaning to be open. And that's a possibility. So this person keeps his options open. He is uncommitted. He is still exploring life, as we may say. And so this particular simple young man is feeling restless early one evening, and he takes a walk. He's curious. Could be a young lady as well. He's heard about a certain part of town. And let's also bring it into our own day and time. How about, could be this, a young person or an older person surfing the internet. No plan, no filters, no guardrails. I wonder what I can find. Curiosity. So there he goes. And perhaps he is thinking, I can handle whatever I come across. That bravado that always gets us into trouble. And suddenly, verse 10, there she is in front of him. There is temptation. Now, friends, it may not be in the form of a literal woman, but it could be any temptation. And it's always going to be attractive. It's going to be tailor-made for us. But for this young man, it was the attraction that was designed for him to lead him astray. The Bible says that she wore the attire of a harlot. Excuse me for being indelicate, but it means she was dressed like a prostitute. She was seductively dressed. That's what the phrase means. It means to wear, the Hebrew phrase means to wear the garment of an immoral woman, in particular a woman who occasionally or professionally commits fornication. You can communicate a message by your clothing. Did you know that? You most certainly can. And by the way, it's not just by your clothing. It's by a look on your face, because we also find that in the text. A person can be immodest, not just in the way that he or she dresses, but also in the way that they would look at another person. And I think it bears mentioning because summer is coming. And we as God's people need to be careful how we dress. We need to be careful about the attire that we wear. Because you are sending a message. And there are parts of your body that were not meant for anyone else besides your spouse. No one else should be seeing certain parts of your body. The Bible teaches modesty. And in particular, it says that a person can wear attire that would advertise themselves. That's what this text is talking about. And it's very, very plain in Scripture. Now, some men say, well, I just couldn't help but lust because of what she was wearing. Well, yes, you could help. Maybe you couldn't help the first look, but you could help the second. Don't blame it on the woman. And there was actually a time, and I hope it's not still this way, but men who would commit sexual assault would get off scot-free. Why? Well, it was because of what the woman was wearing, because of how she was acting. Listen, the man is guilty. Maybe the woman should not have been wearing what she was or acting like she was. But the man is a free moral agent. He chose to sin. He wasn't forced into anything. So there are two players here. There is this young man who puts himself in a position of temptation. And then there is the woman who is advertising herself in a way that puts someone else in spiritual danger. We need to be careful of both in this passage. The Bible says in verse 11 that she was the brash, rebellious type. That is, she is loud and stubborn. She is never content to stay at home, but she is defiant against God's laws and her marriage vows. In verse 12, she lies in wait at every corner. It sort of reminds me of Satan, who walks around as a roaring lion. And that's how temptation is in our lives. As God told Cain, sin lieth at the door. And our young people have to be so careful these days, especially on social media. There are men who are so depraved and corrupt that they will pretend to be young girls online so that they can trap other teenage girls. And vice versa. How corrupt and how perverse. Now, these are things that we need to steer clear of. But sin can take a person down the drain. Temptation will trap you. In verse 13, she grabs the young man and she kisses him. She has this impudent or defiant look on her face. She has no shame. She's going to do what she wants to do. She doesn't care what the Bible says or what God says. Well, that's the kind of attitude that you need to watch out for in a person. Oh, yes, she's religious. She talks about her peace offerings. And they would take the food home and they would have a feast. But it's all pretend. It's all external. So this woman, and you know, in our day and time, maybe she goes to church and maybe she calls herself a Christian. But in the end, she is a seductress. And she takes him in. She grabs this young man and he goes right along with it and falls into the temptation. She says, my husband has gone on a business trip and he'll be gone for a while. The subtext of this is, no one's going to know. No one's going to find out about this. And isn't that part of the temptation, part of the lie and the deception? Because God knows from the very beginning. This is what Joseph understood in the Old Testament. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It's about my relationship with Him, first and foremost. Some have interpreted verse 23 in this way because it talks about death. It talks about the animal going to the slaughter where the spear goes into his liver. And some people interpret it this way. The husband had not really gone away. Or he came home early. And all of a sudden, accounts have to be settled. And in those days, that usually meant death. Death for the young man. And that leads us to number three, and that is the certainty of destruction. Now the father closes the curtain, and he turns to the son. He says in verse 25, let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. This is our threefold defense, according to Derek Kidner. He says, first, guard your heart and mind. We do this with Scripture. We fill our minds and hearts with Scripture. We know that we're in danger as soon as our thoughts wander in a fatal direction. There are places where we shouldn't go. There are times of day or times of night that are not conducive to righteousness. We need to stay away from certain places. You know, they always say things, you know, nothing good happens after midnight or whatever. Well, that's not necessarily true, you know, in this day of people working around the clock. But still, I think it's good to remember most sin happens under the cover of darkness, under the cover of night. There are certain places we shouldn't be. Now, the lesson for us is we need to hold ourselves accountable. And whatever that is, internet filters, or a wife, a husband, a brother or sister who will help us, a believer, a fellow believer, a men's group, a women's group. But we need to hold each other accountable. Here's the second guardrail, and that is keep away, literally as well as in mind. Keep away from those places that are dangerous. And then number three, look past her to the results, to the consequences. Look to the casualties in the chamber of death. How many people embark on a life of sin and they never considered the consequences? The consequences of that first drink or taking that first drug or whatever it is, whatever temptation it is. People do not consider the consequences. And this is one of the things that the Bible does for us. What the Father is saying here is, let me trace this thread through. Let me show you how this ends. Unless there is repentance and faith, it ends in eternal destruction. You may even get away with it in this life, but you won't in the next. Unless there is God's forgiveness. That's the only hope. It is only death in the end. Let me leave you, though, with these words. And that is this, verse 2, keep my commandments and live. That's what God wants for our lives. Fill your mind and heart with Scripture. That is what real life living is all about. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the instruction of your word. Help us to heed it and to obey. And Lord, we do live in a dangerous world. So we pray that you would give us wisdom that we might be careful and cautious ourselves, and also that we might instruct others that you have placed in our care. We thank you for your perfect wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.